This also distinguishes membership certificates from securities where dividends are based on the company's profits and the amount of shares owned. In conclusion, we feel that we have met the intent of these securities laws to prevent consumer fraud and have demonstrated significant differences between membership certificates and securities, and therefore would request your support of our exemption from registration. As background information, 21 states, including Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and California, have enacted exemptions for membership certificates issued by cooperatives. We thank you very much for your time and attention on this matter, and we sincerely appreciate your support of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Clark.
Well, does this idea differ from what is currently in existence with BuyMart, where you buy a membership card for a dollar and you can't shop there unless you're a member?
Right. This, if I could, Senator Cohen, Senator Frye, I'm not really familiar with BuyMart enough to know how their structure is, although this is not a membership-only organization. And cooperatives, by law under Chapter 62, certainly aren't restricted to members only. That is a decision, I guess, under the corporate bylaws that BuyMart has made. And I really don't know if they have a membership certificate other than that $1 that you mentioned.
They're not corporate.
Well, is your operation a partnership or a corporation?
It's a corporation.
It's a corporation. And why? And I guess you could sell stock, couldn't you, to the customers?
Well, we could sell stock, but this is a different type. This is why we're asking for an exemption from registration. This is not a stock situation. This is a people asking people to buy membership certificates. And it's not a stock issuance. If it was a stock issuance, we wouldn't be here, because it's our feeling that if it was stock, that it would be subject to registration just like any other corporation.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is why you wouldn't just go ahead and maybe issue a share of stock or sell a share of stock for $300 to the people that trade there.
Well, if I could,
yes, please,
Senator Cohen, Senator Frye, we could do that, except that what we really want to do is we want to offer equity shares or equity certificates to members rather than going on a regular shareholder scheme where people would buy stock or buy a share and then expect a dividend at the end of the year.
Well, there wouldn't be any, the way I understand this now, there really wouldn't be any equity interest in the membership purchaser, would there? I mean,
there would be, there absolutely would be an equity interest.
Okay.
In this one.
I'm not sure I understand how there would be, but...
It's a cooperative.
Well,
it's a cooperative.
So each one of these people that buys their certificate then would have some real interest in the physical plant.
That's right.
Groceries on
That's
the shelves
right.
and that kind of thing.
Everything,
okay.
right.
Got it.
Senator
Day. I wonder if someone goes out and sells a slug of these and then all of a sudden they leave in the middle of the night. What's the protection against that?
Okay.
What's the supervision?
If I could, Senator Cohen, Senator Day, this is the discussion that we had, a quite lengthy discussion with the Corporation Commissioner's Office, and this was really the intent of trying to narrow under what conditions these membership certificates could be offered. And that's why we... In discussion with the Corporation Commissioner, we settled on a compromise of having the price be limited to up to $300.
So if it's under $300, there'd be no supervision?
Yes, that's correct. If it was over $300, then it would have to be subject to registration. That's what we thought would be the consumer protection in this instance.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you, sir, Madam Chairman.
Yes, please.
We go out, and I'm... suede shoe artist, and I go out and I get 1,000 people and I get $250 a piece, say you got a great equity in a grocery store. I don't have to register, I don't have to do anything. And I go south.
Right.
Middle of the night, nothing's on the shelf and I'm gone.
Right.
You have a bond, is there any bond requirements or anything?
It's, Senator Cohen, Senator Davis, there is no, it would be the same as any other and the same liability to that promoter, let's say. It would be the same liability as anybody else who doesn't come under registration, who's exempt from registration, which is that, you know, it would force any one of those 1,000 people to go into court and actually and sue that person. So the remedy...
Currently, you are under registration.
Pardon me?
Currently, under the definition of the law as a cooperative, you would be under registration at this time. And there would be some supervision.
If I could, Senator Day, if in fact a membership certificate were considered to be a security, then in fact we would be under registration. That's correct.
Okay. I guess the thing, the people that you're trying to serve, Madam Chairman, are vulnerable people sometimes. We have all sorts of schemes for senior citizens that are not working. It's not that I want to impede that, but what would you think of some type of performance bond, so if it, or a surety bond, if a requirement, if someone went south of the funds, don't you think that would be some assurance that there'd be some protection from that?
Well, I would like to be able to, Senator Cohen, Senator Day, look at how it applies in other instances, because in fact there is no other requirement that I know, at least under this statute, that anybody post a security bond.
No, there is, but you're asking to be exempt from the statute.
Right.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. Okay. Other questions? Okay.
I do have one question.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Now, you're in a kind of old building, and you're getting ready to move to another place.
Actually, we're in a relatively new building, but we're searching for larger quarters now.
Okay, so you anticipate within the next few months that you will actually physically move locations.
Right. That's right.
Will you be in the same general neighborhood?
We're scouring the neighborhood right now for larger buildings. Yes, we intend to stay in the same neighborhood.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Roger. I'm going to...
Senator Cohen.
Bill Brooks, do you want to make a comment specifically on 7? Do you have a comment, or you just think it's okay? I guess I need to...
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Madam Chairman, I didn't... On 7, did you say?
Yes, the food cooperatives right now.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, somewhat concerned about the discussion that has just occurred concerning interest in the plant. It would be my understanding that stock and membership certificates that would be exempt under this amendment are those stock and membership certificates contemplated in Chapter 62, the cooperative statute, that are distinct from the capital stock.
Right, so they're not supposed to be offering, though, there is a clear distinction then between you can't offer it as as capital stock and...
Chapter 62, Madam Chairman.
In Chapter 62. So they're buying membership, they're really buying a privilege to do, you know, whatever else the benefits or the discounts or whatever else they get by their membership in terms of participation rather than the capital stock.
Yes, Madam Chairman. As I understand it, any return that they get is dependent upon the amount of patronage that they...
The patronage rather than the... Okay. Senator Fry.
I wonder, Bill, do you know what kind of setup Bimart is with these membership...
Well, Madam Chairman, Senator Fry, I'm not personally familiar with the Bimart operation, although I do have the general sense that the Corporation Division does not view that as a security falling within Chapter 59.
I'm trying to figure out...
Yes, Mr. Chair, they're not cooperative. Bimart is
not a cooperative, but this isn't either, but see...
Yes, it is. This is a cooperative organization. They are a co-op.
Oh, they're presently a co-op.
Yes, they are a co-op.
I thought they were trying to become a co-op.
No, they are a food cooperative.
It's organized under Chapter 62?
Roger, you want to come up and clarify this, and then we've got Representative Mason, who's got to leave in 3 minutes, and find out where you are or aren't organized?
Presently, we're organized as a nonprofit corporation.
Okay, nonprofit.
We intend to... In our movement also into a new store, we're also at this point drawing bylaws to in fact reincorporate under Chapter 62. As we were in the process of reincorporation and moving into under Chapter 62 status, we also were thinking about offering membership certificates, and that's why we ended up coming here, is that as we were doing our research, we found out that, that we may be considered securities.
Well, are you able to go co-op without without this bill passing?
Yes.
They just aren't issued, they aren't able to issue those certificates?
The memberships,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Otto.
Roger, how would you address the concerns that Senator Day had about someone coming in and absconding with the money?
Well, Senator Cohen, Senator Otto, actually, I think, although I don't really want, I'd like to defer to Mr. Brooks, because he is the one who raised all the questions, and he really is discharged with the responsibility of this, in the state of Oregon for preventing consumer fraud. So I think I'd be a little presumptuous if I answered with Mr. Brooks here.
Well, Madam Chairman, Senator Otter, the staff clearly was concerned about the fraud aspects of it. And most exemptions to the security statute are founded upon some particular group, such as the fishermen, or are limited by a relatively small number of investors, 10 or 25. We were fearful that this exemption could appeal to every household within the state of Oregon, and that a fraudulent person could go around knocking on every door and raising this money. The satisfaction that the staff got was the $300 cap. Now, as Senator Day has pointed out, if you have a suede shoe man out there, he can go around and hit 1,000 doors, and he's got a fair sum of money, and he's gone. It's our position that we're going to have to be vigilant under the fraud provisions of Chapter 59, which the co-op will not be exempt from. The co-op will merely be exempt from the registration provisions, which are primarily for the protection of the investor so that he knows what he's getting involved in.
Madam Chairman, you have to post a performance bond under Chapter 59?
Madam Chairman, Senator Day, no, you do not.
Would you suggest a performance bond under Chapter 62 for such an operation of this nature, since you're putting a limit at $300?
Well, Madam Chairman, Senator Day, there are no bond provisions for any offerings contemplated by Chapter 59, and I don't see that this particular situation sets up a situation that needs the protection that that you're offering.
Well, let me ask, Madam Chairman, if I may. We have all sorts of schemes going around here, selling memberships in health spas, selling memberships in all sorts of things, which your particular agency has been charged with trying to keep a handle on, hasn't it?
Yes,
and you've had trouble.
Yes,
and who is most vulnerable of all but senior citizens out here with some screwball coming along and trying to screw up the mess? My only point to you is reciting to me that there's no call for it. What I'm asking you is, someone charged with looking after the consumer, does it make some sense in this particular case to ask for a bond performance, particularly in this kind of nature? If you're exempting from something, should they not have some performance? So if something does occur, just rely on 59 and say, oh, he committed fraud and the money's gone, you can't find him, that doesn't give us any solace. What about that? Is that good, bad, or do you want to do it?
Madam Chairman,
yes,
the only thing I can say is that even if they had, under existing law, went ahead and registered, there would be no bond provision. And secondly, for those that are presently exempt, there are no bond provisions. To single this particular exempt category out by requiring a bond provision would take out the symmetry of the statute. Certainly that would assist in protecting the citizens of the state of Oregon.
Nothing would prevent us from including it and closing the beautiful symmetry of this statute to require under any exemption, would it? And would that be in the public's interest?
Madam Chairman, Senator Day, one of the reasons for having the exemptions is to relieve these small groups of the great expense of complying with the registration provision. Requiring them to post a bond, which I understand are rather difficult to get, you almost have to post cash dollars to get the bonds, would seem to run contrary to the reason that we're talking about it in the first instance.
Thank you.
But certainly is in accord with protection of the consumer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and if you'll, I do want to hear from Representative Mason for a minute. I guess I'd get a sense of the committee to see whether we're interested in moving ahead or whether we need more information. No, not from you, but I'm just talking to the committee a minute, and then we'll hear from Representative Mason.
Well, I'm working on the bill. I just like to know a little more. I hear this cost of surety bonds and a little bit, and I'll tell you, I know people have been defrauded on some of these schemes that go along. It just worries me a little bit. Do you think it's okay? It's from your area.
Well,
I'll work on it.
Then I would guess I'd suggest we let's hold over, take a little, get a little input on this last one, and bring it up to work session next, whatever it was, Tuesday.
I won't be here, but I'll trust your judgment.
Yeah, we'll look it over and see.
You mean we can pass out a lot of legislation?
Yes, Tuesday we're going to have a lot of
legislation. Yeah, you better get all the stuff.
All the ones we don't want to
let out. It's going to be gone.
Close the hearing on Senate Bill 334. Representative Mason, who's here to give us, he's got to be in Portland by 4, House Bill 2284.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. State Representative Tom Mason, House District 11. This is a fun little bill. It's not often you get a chance to do this type of legislation. This is what is known as
Mason. You didn't think it was very much fun when Peter Coors endorsed it.
Peter Coors? Never heard of the man.
That's a good start.
Peter Coors has nothing to do with this bill. This bill has to do with microbreweries, breweries under 25,000 barrels. And all this bill does, it allows a microbrewery, we have four of them here in the state of Oregon now, all of them located in northwest Portland, allows microbreweries to sell some of their product on the premises, just like if one of them have a tasting room. And that's where the genesis of the bill is trying to encourage them. We have Nick Ponzi at Bridgeport Ale, Woodmark, Grand Sale, and I don't know what the name of the fourth ale is, but this bill would allow them to sell it on the premises. It was amended in the House. I do not believe there is any opposition to the bill right now, either from the OLCC, the people in the distribution business, or the major breweries. Again, this is a microbrewery bill, and the chairperson informs me that Mr. Ponzi had some amendments. I have not seen the amendments, but he's certainly very friendly towards the bill, since literally he has a fourth interest in the bill, so I imagine they're good
yeah,
amendments.
And if you would check, there was an amendment offered by OLCC, too.
By OLCC, okay, fine. And as to that other product, it should have nothing to do with this bill.
Okay, thank you. If you'd look over the amendments give us just a call, you don't have to come back, but
okay.
Before work session, we'll.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Mason. Okay, we'll close the hearing on House Bill 22, where are we? 84, and I would ask the indulgence of folks who've come here on 353 and 198 once again, and 435, that we'll reschedule them for Tuesday.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Day.
I have gone over, I won't be here Tuesday, but
okay.
Senate Bill 435, I've gone over, checked in, and I'm satisfied that there are some amendments to suggest, but I'm satisfied it's a sound bill. And I think
okay, with or without the amendments?
I think the amendments should go in.
Okay,
I think the Brad and I have met with the people, and
good.
I'm satisfied that they're sound.
Good.
I'm sorry I won't be here.
Yeah, do you have, and I'm sure, well, I think we've got agreement on Senate Bill 353, too, which is the property tax on manufactured housing.
I'd like to carry that.
And we'll let you do that. But I think that the folks who've come, because of our lateness, we have another committee at 3, and we really need to ask you to come back on Tuesday.
The people have worked on 435.
Yeah.
I want to give you the assurance. I think they're sound.
Okay, and obviously you've looked at 353 and 198. I know you have still probably a concern over what's in confidence. I think we've ironed out almost everything else except that one.
Are you satisfied with that?
I think Senator Frye is, and
okay.
they've wrestled around with it, and
we're
down to the bottom line on that
one.
So.
Good enough.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned. And,
let me tell you a good scheme. You
want to hear the scheme. I'm afraid.
I'm wondering.
I think you're going to bring up a banking bill. I'm gone.